have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Vincent L. Smith, and I concur with the song that was just sung and played for us, open your mouth and say something. You want God to heal? Then say something. You want God to make a way financially? Open that mouth and say something. You want God to bring your wayward children back in? Amen. And give them peace in their mind. You've got to open up your mouth and say something. Amen. So tonight, we praise God for you, and especially you for being with us on this podcast in the month of November. We are moving swiftly towards the end. And I want you, please, ma'am, please, sir, get out there and do whatever God has been telling you to do on this year. Go see who you need to see, because the death rate is moving so swiftly in our land now. If God is talking to you to go see somebody, you better get up and go see them before it be too late. And whatever you were supposed to say or do, amen, will have none effect because you can't do it as the Lord told you. Well, we thank God for you tonight. We've been having, amen, a knockout, drag-out time on this podcast for the last 2 weeks. And we come back, as the old song says, we come back to do it again. And so tonight, let me check who's with us, amen, ready for this discussion. Amen. First of all, I'd like to bring up that wonderful woman from St. Louis who has to be with us, or else I wouldn't be here. I want Kimmy Kim to come and say hello to the people of God.
Hello, Apostle Urban. Good Lord. Hello, Apostle Smith. And I believe my sister is on as well. The new, I think, Apostle Felicia? Yeah, I'm waiting. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let me go down to the peach tree and get me a peach right off the tree. Amen. For Apostle Felicia Flight, newly affirmed Apostle Felicia Flight, are you with us on tonight?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody, praise the Lord.
That's the new Apostle greeting. That's the new Apostle greeting. You know, last week when she was an elder, and we call her name, hi, everybody. She said, how's everybody tonight, you know? That's the new apostle thing. You know? We trying it out. It's the new apostle thing. But anyhow, amen. Grateful to have you tonight, and we thank God for you. Amen. Let us go to the upper Marlboro, Maryland, and let's see if that preacher 719 is on the air. Amen. Taking the road by storm, and heaven is on his mind. Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, are you there tonight? All right. I gave him another great introduction, and he ain't with us yet. Lord, have mercy. All right. I'm going back to the Peach State again and see if we can find this man down there eating peach jam or whatever else they make out of peaches down that way. All right. We're going to see if we can find my other apostle. Amen. The Apostle Urban A. Whitlow. Are you with us tonight?
I got to turn on that. Hallelujah. God bless
make
you.
Make it very beautiful. Come on, Saturday night.
That's right. I had to remember. I had to remember just Tuesday.
All right.
God bless you.
All right, Pastor Felicia, give us prayer tonight. Pastor Whitlow, get ready to read our scripture.
Gracious Father, we truly thank you now, Lord God, for all things. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for forgiving us of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly, oh God. Wash us afresh from all unrighteousness, oh God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Now, Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, as we go forth in this podcast, oh God, we don't want any hindrances, oh God, no technical failures, oh God. Let everybody that is on here have a word to ear to hear, oh God, and a heart ready to receive. Father, I bless you now. We praise you. We thank you for the man and woman of God. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to read tonight from the Amplified. But I mean, we're going to read from the King James. But as we get going, we're going to switch over to the Amplified. Amen. That's Matthew chapter 5. Verse 18 to 24. Let us hear the reading of the Word of God.
All right. Man of God out of Luke. You said Matthew?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 25. I mean 18 to 24.
Yes. Matthew 5, 18 to 24. Okay, I got you now. I got you. All right. Matthew 5, 18. Says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell's fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Word of God for the people of God.
Amen. If you would, Apostle, give emphasis to verse 22.
And before you start, we do have a overseer, Bishop Elect.
Have mercy. I'm so going to get me a belt. I'm going to so whoop this child.
You have so many titles.
I am so going to whoop this one. Bless you, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Let's get a hand clap for Bishop Elect Richard. Hey, let's get a hand clap for him.
I'm okay. I don't need it. I'll be
you
okay.
You know what?
She ain't gonna act right. So don't even force it.
All right. So, Bishop Elect, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 24.
Yes, sir.
Our emphasis will be on verse 22.
No problem.
But I say to you that is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
All right. Our subject tonight yet remains the same. what kind of fool are you? We know in our first week we did comparisons from Psalms 53 and from Corinthians. Psalms 53 told us a fool said in his heart, there is no God. But then Corinthians told us, I am a fool for Christ. And we discussed the difference between those two types of a fool and the word fool, what it meant on that week. Then on last week, we discussed a man, the Lord said, thou fool, your soul has been required of tonight. He was thinking the Lord had blessed him so good. He had great big barns that had them full to the hill, but he wasn't satisfied. He said, I'm going to build bigger barns and fill them to capacity. And then I'm going to eat back and I'm going to sit back and eat grapes and drink wine and tell my soul to take it easy. He said, you fool. Your soul is required of tonight. He didn't know he was dying that day, that very moment. He was given to leave here. He was not like the man on the cross. No time to repent. He thought he was given to live and live and live again. But found out he was getting ready to die. And all his mind was on was building bigger and living so, so on the high of the hog. Until he said he was going to sit back, eat his grapes, drink his wine, and he was going to have a good time living this life. And his life was getting ready to end that night. So God called him a fool, a person without me, no thought of me. You haven't even said thank you for nothing I gave you. You're sitting here thinking about how you're going to get more and haven't thanked me for what I gave you so far. You get ready to leave here now, and there's no room, no time for you to get it together. I want somebody to know I got to start off here. I want somebody to know everybody is not going to get a deathbed chair. You can read that story about the man on the cross with Jesus all you want to. Everybody is not going to get that opportunity to get saved just before you die. For some of you, it's going to be too late. And when you think about repentance, he's going to already have taken the breath from your body. And as they taught us years ago, the way you go is the way you're going to get up. So if you live your life as a sinner, guess what? You're going to wake up burning. If you live your life holy, then when he comes to get you, holy you shall be. All right, let us go into our lesson tonight. Or is there anyone that have anything else to say from last week? As silence gives consent, now we shall go into our lesson for this week. Amen. Pastor Whitlow, let's read it again. Let's do it verse by verse.
All right, again, Matthew 5 and verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Now, I want to ask the question straight out tonight. Is there anybody on this line that believe or even think that the word could ever fail?
No, the word can't fail. The world doesn't have the ability to fail.
No. I'll be able to speak 17 languages and be 4 different colors before the word fails.
And nobody better be on this line thinking that the word don't work. What? Let's do a mic check.
Why would the scriptures then say before heaven, you know, before one jot or tittle of the word fail? Is there a possibility?
There's no possibility. Jesus was just letting you know that word was that sure. I'm going to stop right there because I know Apostle Whitlow got some serious wisdom he want to share.
I don't know about that part, but I know this much, that it is impossible for God to fail. And because it's impossible for God to fail, it's impossible for what he says to fail. Because God is a God that what he says is what he does, and what he does is what he says. Therefore, since he doesn't fail, what he says cannot fail.
Okay. And why would he Why would he say something that can't fail?
Well, I don't think it was for his own assurance. I think it's for information for those who may even think or come across with the thought process that such a thing could happen. Now, you got to remember, in our humanness, I guess I could use that word, we tend to do the Murphy's Law thing, you know? And for some strange reason, we think Murphy's Law applies in eternity as well as it does in the frame called time. And that's just simply not true. If God says a thing, it shall come to pass. Well, I like how the psalmist said, if God forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. End of story.
All right. So let me ask the newly apostle, then what was God trying to get across in this statement then?
Trust me at my word. Just trust my word. If you don't trust nothing else, just take my word. Just trust me. Can I get you to trust me? Can I get you? Will you? Shall you? Don't might be. Don't possibly. But just do it.
Okay. Anybody want to add something to it? Touch and agree. Agree and touch. Anybody got anything they
want to
throw in the fire?
I certainly agree with the newly appointed apostle. I agree.
And ditto.
All right. So when we look at this scripture, he's telling us, agree with me, and you'll never fail.
Amen.
Agree with me, and you'll be healed. Agree with me, you'll be delivered. Agree with me, because I do what I say.
In reality, you cannot walk with God unless you agree with him. And so you have to remember, Jesus had recently recruited some recruiting. Okay? And so while we were doing some recruiting, there were folk who wanted to know what's going on with this little group over here. And so the people came around, and the Bible says that he took them to the mountain while he went up there, and they were there. He began to teach them, and he started teaching them about their attitude. And so this goes along with that. He says, because you have to understand, prior to this, he says, you have to understand that I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, he's saying, I came to do what the law cannot do. So he says, this is what I need you to understand. He says that until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle, that means not one dot on an I, or not one cross on a T, is going to pass from the law until everything is fulfilled. In other words, what he's saying is, I got to make sure that y'all live up to my standard and what my Father has required of you. And I'm not going to let you, die without living that way. He said, believe me if you want to. He says, heaven and earth can leave, pass away, go another direction, but not one jot or tittle is going to pass. In other words, I'm not going to let you off the hook now, because now you have a reason to live up to the standard. You have a reason to live up to what I want of you and from you.
Now you put that in a way that is different from what has been preached, and it is correct. What he was trying to tell the people, heaven and earth would disappear before the word will ever disappear. Now, it has been preached for years that the word is not fail-proof. That at some time the word could mess up, and then heaven and earth was going to pass away because the word was getting ready to mess up. That's how it's been preached. But in the format which you put it tonight, that is exactly what he was saying to the people, that heaven and earth would leave. But the word is still going to stay. Even when the earth and the heavens is when this day is over, the word will still be standing. And I'm going to put it in this vernacular. The word will still be the last man standing when it comes up to everything else. When it's all over, it's going to be the last man standing, the word of God. And isn't it funny that Jesus himself said, I'm going to exalt my evil above my, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe tonight, if somebody would teach me the scripture, that I would know. Lord have mercy. Y'all know I'm but a kindergarten. Somebody finish that scripture for me. What did it say?
I have magnified my word, my name.
Even above what?
My name.
He magnified the word above his name, and we know how powerful his name is. So how in the world, or as my good friend used to say, how in the heaven can the word fail if he is exalting the word above his name? The word has to be something powerful. Amen. Hebrews says it was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, going asunder between soul and spirit, joint and marrow of the bone. I mean, the word got to be something serious. So Jesus says to us, y'all listen, be careful now. Either his name or the word. Watch this now. He says, before I fail, everything going to pass away. Because he is the word, and the word is him. And when he speaks his word, he must come to pass. Uh-oh.
Well,
everything
if I may...
he says is him. Because even from the beginning of time, when God said, let it be, he was speaking as Jesus, and Jesus came out of his mouth and made things happen.
Can I throw something else in there to further undergird what's already been said?
Throw that three cent in there. Go ahead.
Okay. I believe it's Hebrews 11:3, if I'm not mistaken. It did say in the King James Version. Let me see if I can remember how it said. I think it said something to the effect that through faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things that were not made would appear to be so. Long story short, when we talk about the word of God, when we talk about the Rhema, when we talk about the logos, take your choice, whichever side you want to go on. And most people separate the two, and very well you should. The point is The surety of it is the fact that God said it. God said it. God said it. Let me say that again so somebody that's listening can hear. God said it. There's nothing else to be said after that.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I have an issue. I have an issue now because Bishop Elect just said something, and there is something that people have added to it that has troubled my spirit since I've been living for the Lord, and that's been some time. People have made the statement, God said it, I believe it,
and that,
settles it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing. It's my thing.
Come on.
The word of God
right.
is settled, even if we don't believe it. It's
yeah,
what happens whether we believe it or not. And this is a big thing. This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, even if you don't believe it, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away before my word does. My word ain't going to be nowhere. My word ain't going nowhere. We used to sing a song. I know that y'all might have a couple of days on me, maybe just a couple of days. But I used to, when I was a kid, my mama used to sing a song, said, in the word of God, I got a hiding place.
Hiding place, yes. Can't move the old
and
school.
Then she'd turn around, and then she'd get ready to preach. And before she would preach, she'd say, everything is going down but the word of God.
The word of God.
Come on
here.
Come on now.
Come on here now.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Yes, Lord. Everything.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I
Mother, shake up a service with that one.
That's a lifeline.
Mother, she would shake
right.
up a service
hold
with
on,
that.
Hold on. About the flight we're talking.
No.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, the thing about it is that's
okay.
Yeah, that's how thing that's how people lose out. See, that's your lifeline. See, you can't your life ain't a life unless you're living for God, unless you have that connection to Him. Somebody better check their connection, because I think they lose, and you know when you start to lose power, how lights start flickering. You better check your connection. Your lifeline about to be flatlined.
Okay, and coming back to Apostle Whitlow's statement and comment that he made, our biggest issue, and I'm talking to whoever is listening, get out of your flesh and stop going with the latest saying that some guy, just because it gave you goosebumps, don't mean it was gospel. Stick to the word. It goes a lot further.
So, as we know.
That'll preach right there.
It may have to preach because God has given me hot off the press messages. Stick to the word.
She kind of quiet on me tonight. Amen. Mm-hmm. Give me, Kim, what the word mean to you? Kim, you woke Kim?
She you
gotta
woke.
Take
you know
off.
She on mute.
You gotta lift the mute off.
You guys know
she
me
protested.
Pretty well, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
I knew
what
you could.
What does the word? What does the word mean to you?
Mean.
Bless my sister. Come on, you got it.
What word? The word overall, or the word? The word.
The word. The word. Yes. The word.
Okay,
what
the word of
the
God.
Word?
Okay.
Yes,
the word
of God.
Okay. It means to me is the way to live, my manual of life. Without the word of God, I wouldn't have a direction. Without the word of God, I'd be lost. The word of God is my light. It's like, you know, once you're been adapted to this life, it's like you become more and more addictive each day. So without His word, I would be lost. Yeah.
All right now.
Well, I have always liked this synonym that we have used for many years, talking about the Holy Bible. And then you can write it down if you never used it before. Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
There you go.
That's what the Bible is. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
No,
that's the Bible. That's the Bible.
Since you brought the B-I-B-L-E up in the acronym that you did, let's break that down for a minute. Basic. You can't get no simpler. Instructions. That means you're supposed to pay attention to it, read them, follow them, they say do, before leaving Earth. Hello? You ain't going to wait till you leave Earth. Oh, wait a minute. I left my Holy Ghost down there. Let me go back and get it. Yeah, okay. Y'all remember the parable of the marriage supper? Remember what happened? What kind of fool am I? I'm not fool enough to forget basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's for sure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt this flow. Seemed like everybody just went quiet on me all of a sudden. Oh, my God.
I can't take you nowhere. That's good, though. I like that. But see, most people miss that part. It says basic instructions. But see, hold on, brother. Hold on.
Now I'm just saying, see, emphasize the before and go ahead.
Okay, so this is where I'm going. Basic instructions. Basic. That means it's so explainable that a child can understand. Basic. Remember
yes.
When you was in school, they put you in basic English or advanced English or intermediate English. Basic
uh-huh.
means that it's at the bottom. So you work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
Basic instruction, that means that it's teachable. Again, basic to a child, so a child can comprehend it. Before, you need to get this before your deathbed. You need to get this before your life flashes in front of you. You need to get this before anything happens outside the will of God. Leaving
Amen.
The earth. Lord God, I can't put you in a casket and say, well, Lord, please save him now. It's too late.
Thank you.
It's too late. You
What's
on your last
worse,
breath.
You got...
I mean, now,
most
ahead, people say,
well,
you know, did they go ahead and commit their life to Christ before they, wait, so the before they took their last breath, Lord, please forgive me, flatline.
Oh, that's what they think
Come
anyway.
Come on, you have time. Everybody is born with an expiration date. Before
Amen.
Leaving
What's
the earth,
say?
Before everybody is given the opportunity before leaving the earth. Now, the thing about the what people are missing now today is that, oh, I got time. Oh, I got time. Oh, I got time. Oh, I'm trying to get myself together. That's all I keep
mm-hmm.
hearing from people. First of all, you can't get yourself together. That's not your job. You can't
Thank
do it.
Thank you.
Because if you can
Thank
do it, you would have been did it. You would have done it
Thank
a long
you.
Time ago.
Thank you.
So now, again, we got to speed you up before you flatline. Come on, man. Okay, I'm
well,
done. I got to go.
No, but see, you said something right there, because not only did they say, when I, as soon as I'm going to. The problem here is I don't see any eyes in salvation, do you? Anybody else find an eye in salvation?
Well,
I'm
it could be
salvation.
At the end. It could be at the end before the O and the N.
Yeah, it is before the I. It's before the O and after. It's actually before the O and the N, and you're right. That's the only place. But that I sitting there gives it a plural, a finish of pluralism. Gives it a finish of, you know, this is not a work that you can do. So when we talk about I, me, myself, and I, the problem here is you, if you already said it, if you're able to get yourself together, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? I mean, we could all got our own selves together, you know? But nonetheless, the bottom line, it comes down to this. When you really think about it, when we talk about the foolishness of people, we have heard every foolish excuse there is on the face of the earth when it comes down to surrendering one's life to the Lord Jesus Christ. People are finding and looking for ways to keep doing what they're doing. And so they keep coming up with this craziness. The church ain't right. I'm living better than the church. I'm more saved than most. No, you are not. The difference between me and you is I have hope and you are still hopeless. There's the difference right there. I guess I should stop again. I keep doing these silent things.
No, ain't nobody silent.
No, ain't nobody silent. We're taking it all in. You got to understand when you teach, when the teach, see, basic instructions. You're giving the basic instructions.
I mean, but, you know,
that's
and it's a common. It's a commonality. I want to go off the deep end so bad, but it ain't my show. I'm just here as a guest, so I'm going to stay in my place.
Lord,
well, it ain't my show.
Help us, Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, Lord. Wait, let me lay down. No, I got to lay down on that one.
Read verse number 19, Pastor Whitlow. Let's see if we can get a little deeper in this conversation.
Here's what it says, verse number 19 says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Man, there's so much in that right there.
Let me ask one question right there.
First of all, what in the world is it talking about if anybody break one of the least of these? I didn't know there were no little commandments.
Well, see, you have to understand, there are people who make light of certain things, and that's what these Sadducees and these Sadducees and these Pharisees were doing. They were making light of certain things, like, okay, you can, if you do this, then you're going to hell, but you'll be all right if you do that. It's no big deal. Let me give you a typical example. Today's time, what will happen is you'll have the preacher who will tell you, don't fornicate, but it's okay to masturbate.
Wait, what?
All right,
what?
Okay. You heard
it, what?
Oh, yes.
Wait
every
a minute.
Word.
Back it up. Rewind. Kim and Kim, you need to play that part back. Say what now? Because I was sat straight up. Say what?
Hey, you heard every word.
Come on. You guys.
But he's right. He is right.
It's okay. It ain't okay to say that one more. I need to hear you in my good ear. I'm trying to see what you're saying.
Come on, Willow. One more time.
I'm trying to see what you're saying.
Excuse me.
It's wrong to fornicate, but it's okay to masturbate.
That's the same thing.
Well, to
the
them, they say, oh, no, because you're not.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead, Apostle.
That's
you're making this case,
saying,
so go ahead.
Because you ain't on nobody. You know, you ain't doing nothing with nobody. You just doing what you do to please yourself. I could be wrong. You know, I'm still learning. But I thought I read a scripture that says that you ought to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service.
Now
and you did read that scripture. Here's where they messed up. The fornicator has an object to fornicate with. And I'm saying object, whether it's a woman, a machine, a doll, whatever the case. The masturbator has his imagination. What's the difference? I mean, if Jesus said in that same fifth chapter, in the earlier part of that chapter, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in their heart, what is the difference?
Said, uh-huh.
There is the immorality of the imagination. And folk don't want to deal with the immorality of the imagination. No disrespect, ladies, Dr. Robinson and Apostle. No disrespect to you, but if I'm sitting here thinking about how I could just blow y'all out, we got a problem, and we need to repent. Matter of fact, I better repent because I might have thought something today and didn't even think about it. Father, forgive me.
Lord.
Listen, it's that easy.
Yeah, but I've heard somebody say, and I'm serious, it's a well-known preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call him, that premarital sex was okay.
Okay, so we get to test the car before we drive it now, right?
So that's three. That's three. So if God's word, if God in His word says one thing, you gonna take it. So we going back to last week's scripture now. So a fool says in his heart that there is no God. So you're not gonna believe the word of God. So you're not gonna believe none of the words that He done gave you. You're not supposed to be fornicating, but I'm gonna marry him. I'm gonna marry her, so it's okay for us to go ahead and do it.
No, it's not.
Because we're gonna get married next Saturday, but we can go ahead and sleep together today Tuesday.
Yeah, and if by Wednesday
you must remember. You must remember. In this hour, there is a philosophical, psychological, humanistic word that is going forth that pleases the flesh. That's going on now is a flesh-pleasing word, and I believe the Bible called it an itching ear gospel.
And it is.
What church will you be a member of? What church will you be a member of? The church that's telling you to hold out till you get married? Or the church that says you can get a little bit before you get married.
The church that has gone through philosophy and tried to do human reasoning is, and I'm with you on this when I say this, Apostle, that's the one that's making the big...
And let me tell you now, that's why a lot of these churches are overrun in these last few days. Because they're in there with no true holiness being taught.
Well, let's be truthful, Apostle. Holiness is being taught because they heard the word wrong. They didn't hear holiness. They heard holiness.
You know
and
what?
Unfortunately,
I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you right now.
I heard somebody was so dead on it.
Wait a minute. He said holiness.
No, Edith.
We are in time.
Oh,
unfortunately,
the whole supposed to eat it.
Wait a minute. We are literally in a day and time where, believe it or not, leaders want holes in their church. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be profane. I'm not trying to be perverse. But that's
Wait a minute. I think you misinterpreted that a little bit, Apostle. Leaders are making holes in their church.
Ah, yes, that's what it is. That's exactly
now,
what it is.
Now, think about it. When you go into church, the pastor's a handsome dude. There's six women in there, but suddenly there's 12 children. What's wrong with that picture? And they all happen to look like the pastor.
Yep.
What's the problem with that?
Gary, you are not the father.
You know why that is, though. You know what that is.
Yes, sir.
Because,
come on.
You know, they were used to that whining and dining, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he decided, hey, I'm getting some tonight.
Yeah.
And so he said,
sister,
I'm coming.
The Lord says I must come.
Noticed the preacher who says, the Lord gave me a special word for you and I need to come by and share it with you. But
We were saying the same thing,
right,
sir.
Then they have the audacity.
Wait a minute, hold
up.
No, wait. You missed something, Apostle.
See,
you can't let that get past. I'm sorry, we got to put it out there. They would come, and then they would come.
Wait a minute, hold up. Paul, put a quarter right there. No, seriously, put a quarter right there. Now,
all right.
Now, let me say this.
let me, because y'all know I go head first, and then I come back and put my feet in there. So you mean to tell me?
Okay.
You mean to tell me that there are some? Now I'm not disputing what you are saying, because I know what you're saying can be factual and it can be pointed out. Okay, we both know that means the same thing. But pastors are really thinking that. Wait one darn minute. You got a word from me, and I'm going to be by myself with you, and you're going to come to my house, and you're going to come to my house after 12 o'clock, and we all know what after 12 o'clock means, but we'll talk about that on Saturday. But you mean to tell me that they still trying to pull that foolishness that they did some years ago in this 21st generation, and these females are falling for that?
Let me put it to you like this.
Now, wait a minute, not falling.
Hold on, let me get this out. Go ahead.
You'd be surprised how many women come to church to get with the preacher.
You know what? I'm done. That situation right there
goes both ways. You gotta pray in the pulpit. And you gotta pray in the audience, and then they both decide praying, they start playing. A friend of mine went to a church to do revival. Wait a minute, a friend of mine went to a church to do revival. He's sitting in the pulpit with the pastor. The choir is singing. The pastor leans over and tells him, "Hey man, take a look at the choir." So he said, "Well, you know, it ain't gonna hurt me nothing." He said, he looked back at the choir. They were singing. He said, "Oh, yeah, sound good, you know." He said, he told the pastor, "It sound real good. It looked real nice in the uniform and all that." The pastor tells him, "Man, I done had just about everything up there."
Oh.
Well, that's something.
Now,
listen to this.
Go ahead.
This is a true story. Because you remember Bishop Elect, when you met me, I was living in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So I remember I had a preacher friend there who was in Birmingham, and he was pastoring this great ministry, and it was growing. He had received a letter in the mail from a pastor that was in Chicago, and the pastor told him, says, "Man, you're doing great things. I'd like you to come and help my ministry grow." He says, "I will pay you so much a week." He says, "Also, you can choose any woman in the congregation you want. It'll be our secret. And if that doesn't work, I will turn over for you and you'll have me." What I'm saying is there is such a perverse, provocative spirit. And so people see this scripture and they're like, "Oh, that doesn't apply to me." But it does. He says, if you break just one of the least of these. See, what I discovered, my father told me something years ago before he died. He said, "Son, everybody loves the word of God until it gets to an area that they don't like. Then they say it don't mean that." This is what Jesus again was saying.
You can equate this to this. If the true believer is honest and they're telling you that Jesus has taken up residence in their heart, you can equate it to a 5-bedroom house. Now, 4 of the bedrooms, Jesus is present, but that 5th bedroom is off limits to them. Why? Simply because that's where all their dirt, all their nasty evil deeds are. That's where all their provocative thoughts are. That's where all their little secret sins are all hidden, stored up and stacked up like a storage closet. My point is simply this. We all, and I'm going to say it, and whoever's listening, I pray if it hits you, just repent. Don't call me because I'm not giving out my number this week. Bottom line is it's time to take off the mask, because you might be hiding from me, but you certainly ain't hiding from God. And remember what the scripture says in Galatians 6, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." The AIDS victim, you didn't get AIDS just because God didn't like you. There was a reason why you got AIDS. The chlamydia victim, the syphilis victim, the gonorrhea victim, the space herpes victim, if there's such a thing. Another one of
okay,
the moments again. Sorry about that.
Can I say this? Can I say this? And then So with all of that going on, I'm going to pose this question. Mm-hmm. What happened to holiness and righteousness? It's not what you wear. It's not what you wear. Holiness has nothing to do with your skirts being down your ankles, with your
nope.
Head. Because truth be told, I was taught holiness, but at the age of 18, I still got pregnant in the Church of God in Christ. So they had nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with what I had on. Had nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with that. It was about me being in right relationship with God. But I submitted my life to his.
Yes.
I died so that he stepped in vicariously
mm-hmm.
and lived in me. So now
yep.
I say to the preacher who's getting before God's people, and you're supposed to be preaching, and I said tonight, as a matter of fact, we have got to shut this stuff down. When it comes to these people having on these clergy collars and these hats and these big crosses wrapped around their throats and carrying on, but you sinning more than a sinner.
Okay.
You're supposed to be a prime example, but yet you carrying on like the world. And this is why we can't get, oh, my God,
this is why the world is not listening to us on a lot of occasions, because when they catch you in your madness, whether it's by social media, by news break, or by personal observation, the very first thing out of their mouth, you're no better than I am. Okay, so now they get the impression in their mind. Let me finish this thought, please. They get this impression in their mind that because you're doing what you're doing, they are okay. They are going to be all right. Long as they pray to God, long as they go to church, long as they give up a little bit of money, in their mind, they're okay. And what we've done is created a falseness or a falsehood in their life because we presented something that should have never been there to begin with. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to tell you something, Flight. There were at least three or four pastors that we know about. It could have been more than that. There were three or four pastors that the preachers at the clergy meeting years ago had to ask to leave town. Tell you why. Because they had been stopped by the police so many times for picking up prostitutes until they had to get them out of town before they embarrassed every preacher in town.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there was one preacher
that had to bring into a meeting because they found out he was having orgies. He was having monthly orgies at his house.
Uh-huh.
For a particular price. And so they had to bring him in to the clergy meeting and ask him would he please leave town because he was an embarrassment to what it meant to be a clergy. I'm telling you, there is a scripture in the Psalms that says sin is growing like a Green Bay tree.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes to the church, I think that tree is taller than in any other place because people in the world, you expect them to be buck wild, but there are some in the world that got more character than some that are in the church, and that's sad.
Amen.
It's really sad. And so, I mean, but we can go on and on with these stories about sin. And I will have to go back to what Apostle Blake said. The problem is we see it, we know it, but who's saying something about it? Even as you said tonight about the long skirt, My father told me I was crazy, but he said, you tell it as long as the Lord give it to you. And I used to talk about how the church used to make the women wear these old long dresses. I said, but let me stop right here and say something. I said, but y'all, they were wearing the long dresses. I said, but Johnny was still coming over late at night. I said, them long dresses were going up in the air, and babies were still being made out of wedlock with the long dress.
Well, it just took them longer to get the dress up, that's all.
Don't forget about the white kids and the socks with the lace on them now. We had on kids and white lace socks. We had on white kids and lace socks. That's what we wore in Church of God in Christ.
Wow.
You went out of Boston Whitlow. You went out.
Listen, I remember my father told me this story. He said, and during his 90th birthday or something, I think his 85th birthday, we did a roast. And I reminded him of something that he told me when I was younger. He said, a sister in the church, because my father passed just about, he pastored about 50, just about 50 years, along with my mama. And he said, one of the sisters came to him and said, Reverend? He said, yes, daughter. Yes, sweetie. You know, tag name, sweetie. No big deal to him. He said, yes, sweetie. She said, I'd go to hell to be with you. My father said, is that right? She said, yes, I would. Says, well, baby, do me a favor. Says, what's that? When you get to hell, tell Satan I ain't coming.
My daddy taught
the church. He taught us to have a standard because of the God we serve. And
amen.
So what we have, here's what we have. We have a bunch of pastors who have no standing. But let me tell you why. Because in today's time, the majority of the pastors are these young bucks who just want an opportunity to hoop and holler and a position. They want an opportunity to be called a bishop or an apostle, but they don't want what it takes to get there. I was reading earlier that the Bible says that a bishop should not be a novice and should have a good report with those on the outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But all these, they're just looking for an opportunity for somebody to, because now it's a prize to be a bishop. It's a prize to be an apostle. It's a prize to be a prophet. It's a prize. And so because it's a prize, they get a prize. And what they get is, I'm sorry to say it, they get that kitty cat. I don't mean to harm. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But that's what it is. And that kitty cat is looking for that one that's going to make her purr. I'm going
to throw another segment in there, and I cannot disagree with what you just said, but the other way they go with this prize, they want the accolades. And so I've been to Roasted Toasted Seminary, and I've got 3 degrees in this and 4 degrees in that, and I'm a well-educated young man or a young lady, and I speak a certain way, and my oratory skills have been sharpened to the point where I can say certain words, and they have such an authenticity to these words. They just sound so lofty, so high. Okay, and then there, I'm gonna say it on both sides of the fence. There are individuals that like the power and the prestige that comes with the title, and that prize they chase, the kitty cat comes, or the candy stick comes, when they can get close and know that they can reach out, you know what I mean, that so-called prestige and power to walk alongside it, to say I'm a part of it, even if they're the mister or the mistress. They do this. But we know this to be true. That's why I don't knock education, love education, but I will never, ever put education above the anointing. Because on the day education supersedes the anointing, that is the heaven and the earth portion passing away. Because the jot and tittle are going to stay in their place. Because not only is it the word of God, it's anointed of, by, and of and by God is what I meant to finish with. That's all I'm going to say on that.
I'm going to make this statement, and then we're going to move to the next verse. But right where I was at this weekend, that great old town, there is a church. There's a church down there, my sister. One of the largest churches in the grand old Church of God in Christ. When they get happy, they get near each other and they say, Pope is speaking in tongues. But they get near each other and say, oh, me, 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 me,
me,
me,
me,
me, me, me, me, me, me, me, or they go to each other, I'm seeing three, I'm seeing a four. Oh, and the Lord showed me a two now. That means meet me in room 342. See, so much junk has crept into what we call the church. And for all our listeners, this kind of stuff is not happening everywhere. There are still holy churches, still righteous preachers, still people that believe God. Amen. The way we're supposed to believe, preaching what we're supposed to preach, and living like we're supposed to live. But there are things happening, and we're just putting it out on the table tonight to let you know there's a cleaning that to happen in the church, just like it does in the world. And I really want to say to us tonight that this conversation right here really needs to come to a forum. It needs to come to a symposium or whatever they want to call it, a summit or whatever, to a room full of leaders, not even just pastors, but a room full of leaders, and let's talk about what are we going to do with sin in the church. They were jumping up and down about the homosexuality. One time in our clergy meeting. So I put my hand up. They must have talked about it for about 6 weeks. And so I got tired of it. Not that it wasn't true, but the truth wasn't being told. I put my hand up. I said, okay, y'all been talking about homosexuality for a month and a half, and I ain't seen one homosexual come in here and get saved yet. I said, but here's the problem. Y'all want to run down homosexuality. I said, but I ain't heard not one time nobody talk about the pastor that's making babies in their own church. Nobody's talking about the organist who's sleeping with everything in the choir. Nobody wants to talk about the mother who ain't really mother, but she's Brother Joe.
But don't forget the choir director who's bending over every tenor in the entire choir.
Well, I went through the whole thing. You know what one of the preachers yelled out? All right, Smith, now you're getting too deep now.
Well, I tell you what, this Friday at 7:30, join me for At the Table with Apostle Fee. We're going to talk about sin in the church. We're going to talk about it.
That number out there.
Oh, this is on Facebook Live, I will add you guys to At the Table with, right now it says At the Table with Elder Fee. I will add you all to that group. We're going to talk about this Friday at 7:30.
Yeah,
you're
going
to have to call me
too.
So I'll be in there with you. Call me and plug me
we'll,
in.
We'll get you. We'll make it happen.
We'll add you in. I won't be able to do it because I have somebody else on my stream. But we're going to talk about, we're going to deal with this at hand on Friday at 7:30. We're going to deal with
it. Let's try to get a little deeper. Where we at, verse 20? We only dealt with 18 and 19, verse, right?
Yep. Verse 20 says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh boy.
Well, I understand that perfectly.
Father Flight, talk to me a little bit about that verse.
Sometimes repeat it one more time for me, Apostle Whitlow. One more time.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So until you come out of the relationship that you in and be fully adopted into the righteousness of God, your life is over.
All right. You got any more you want to add to that? Or was that the statement?
And I approve this message.
Anybody else want to throw a couple of coins at that?
No, she approved the message, so I'm going to let it be approved.
All right,
I want to get to the scripture. So here's what it says. Ye have heard said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been said a long time, thou shalt not kill.
Okay.
But there's some killing. But there's some killing going on. Somebody talk about the killing mechanism. What kind of death is going on in this house?
All right.
And please don't say the pandemic. I'm talking spiritually. We don't spend
there
a
is
lot of time
a, there,
talking
there.
About the pandemic.
Okay. And there are several types of death taking place. The most common, we know about the physical. Because individuals cannot control their emotions, they go into a rage, and they take a life. We understand that one. Then there's what I call verbal assassination, where you undercut somebody's character and cut them to, and you get them in the jugular, spiritually speaking, to where you cause their basic what the general public sees of them, you cause that to dissipate. You put them in a position where they've been downplayed and downgraded. They are no longer celebrated. They are right now tolerated. End of story. Then there is that final death that we do when we do the sin of omission. And you can count the sin of commission in there, where we cut people off, never give them a chance to really experience what it is we've experienced in Christ. And that's the worst of all, because I think God's going to go after a lot of people for that one thing alone. How is it that you can walk around here, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized, and you won't even go next door and witness to your neighbor? What's wrong with that picture? That's all I'm going to say.
Let me ask Kim and Kim and Apostle Flight to take a chunk out of this one. I want to know, out of what Bishop-elect just said, I want to know, are there more murders or are there more abortions in Planned Parenthood or in the church?
In the church.
Mm-hmm. In the church.
I mean, you can murder someone
based on talking about them. So if there's more abortions in the church, then why is the church out jumping up and down about the abortions at Planned Parenthood and ain't nobody saying nothing at the church?
Because people are hypocrites.
I do not want to mix church and state.
That's what it boils down to. Because when you begin talking about that, now you become a politician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I'm not a politician now.
No, not you.
No, I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. But watch this, though. Spiritually speaking, we got more babies being killed in the house of God by somebody's mouth, by somebody's actions, by somebody's treatment than at Planned Parenthood. But the church is worried about Planned Parenthood.
I told y'all before, people have lost the fear of God. They, you know, I said it and I'll say this again. You will write my life story with a blue pen, but as soon as your life story come around, the blue pen stop writing. The ink becomes invisible.
Thank you.
But you'll tell all my life story,
uh-huh,
everything that I did right, everything. You're going to focus on everything that I did wrong. You assassinate my character. But see,
and
I said before, about a couple of weeks ago, there is an assassin on the loose in the church.
That's right. Machine gun tongue. Not Tommy. Machine gun tongue. That don't make him Japanese either.
And so we spend a lot of time in the house of God watching people shed innocent blood in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't nobody saying a doggone thing. But as soon as a young girl, and believe me, I count it wrong. I don't like it. And I believe they can do something else. But what are we going to do about all this blood that's being shed in the spirit? What about the Whitlow? What you think about that?
Well, unfortunately, we're in an assembly today that really doesn't care about blood being shed. We're in an assembly today that only looks out for themselves because it's only them that matters, and if the truth be told, it's only them that is saved in their
mind. Well, Apostle Whitlow, I'm just going to say what I'm going to say because God know my heart. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
That's all.
The devil is a liar. He know your actions, too.
Well, he know the actions, but they leave that part out.
But I agree. God knows their heart because God reveals it in Jeremiah. He says, your heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked.
Yes.
No man
yes.
can know it. So God
does. No man.
He does. He knows. Yes, he does. Okay?
But then about that, he says in the word of God, when he talks about that sword, he says he knows how to get in between what you said and your intent in your heart.
That's right. That's what it says.
And this is where, oh Lord, here I go with one of my pet peeves. That's why I have the pet peeve of all these saints that's walking around talking about freak this and freak that and using other words for what they really want to say. You think God don't know what you're saying?
Come on here.
We had, you might as well call the person a celebrity who did exactly what you just said. How on earth are you going to bless God with one side of your mouth, curse man with the other side, and then come back and curse God with the side you just blessed him with? What kind of madness is that? I'm serious. What kind of madness is
what
that?
What kind of church is that?
I go back and say, my mother-in-law, when she got upset, you know, because the old folk were a little funny, but back in the day when she got upset and didn't want to cuss, she had a tendency of saying, "What in the ham sandwich?" So she wouldn't,
uh-huh.
she wouldn't say what it really was. She would say, "What in the ham sandwich?" So
uh-huh.
we ride down the street one day, me and my wife. Something happened. It had her a little upset. She said, "Well, I don't know what in the ham sandwich." I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "I don't care if you use the ham sandwich, hell, or what you use. I said, God know what you're trying to say."
Mm-hmm.
And just because you give it another sound don't mean he ain't reading your heart.
There you go.
And we as the saints of God and the Christian family, we try to, oh God, here we go. Dr. Weems said years ago, W-E-E-M-S, she said years ago, the church of this age is at a place trying to speak, saying they're saved, but standing at the line, trying to see how far they can cross over the line without actually falling over it.
Mm-hmm. Detesting God.
And the truth be told, you can't be saved and be a club head. You cannot be saved and sitting at the bar drinking, amen, a Long Island iced tea, drinking a Bahama Mama. You cannot be saved and still got your cigar, cigarettes, or a pipe, marijuana, anything that is smokable. You cannot be, you're not going to tell me. The same God that told me I can't do these things told you you can do them. You are a liar and the truth ain't in you. Satan,
well, here's where
the
here's where it comes from. Paul said to the Corinthian church, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And they'll grab that and use it for a cloak to cover the liberty that they want to take to do what they want to do. End of story. It's really what they do.
Well, and then the church, we pet stuff up that ought not be petted up.
You're right.
Oh, well, you gave your heart to the Lord. You're still smoking. It's going to be all right. Just keep praying. No, teach me how to come off of that. Teach me how to get out of drinking. Teach me these things.
The thing is, you can't. It's hard to teach what you don't know. You know?
Let me say this.
It's hard to teach what you ain't doing.
Listen, Apostle, a lot of them, they know, and when I say they don't know, I mean they don't realize the consequences that comes with it. They just automatically assume it was okay because somewhere down the line, some preacher, some leader told them, oh, it'll be all right. And see, I'll be the first to tell you this. If you're a newbie in Christ, I don't expect you to be perfect coming out of the box. There are some things that are going to fall off instantly, and then there are some things that's going to take a little bit of something to come off of you. But you've got to be honest with yourself. And this is why James said over in James 5, when he says, confess your faults one to another, but then he turned around and said, pray ye one for another. And he talked about the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. If you really want to be set free, if you really want to be healed, if you really want to be delivered, face your demon. And when you face your demon, look for God to bring about deliverance. He's going to bring people that will come in your life and make you accountable. Now, if you decide you don't want to be accountable, you're going to tell them people to get lost. But if you're going to be accountable, you're going to do everything you can. Even though you may make mistakes, in your heart, you know you want to be in the presence of Almighty God, and you're going to do what it takes to get there. That's how that happens. Those individuals that keep doing what they're doing and say, again, God know my heart. Yeah, God knows you want to keep on with what you're doing. He does know that. And you already said it, Apostle. God already knows that you like the wickedness of your own heart. You like the deceitfulness of your own heart. You like the iniquities that your heart has a way of designing. You like those things. So what are we going to say to you? You ain't trying to change. I ain't going to waste my breath trying to change you, because it ain't my job to change you. It's my job to preach the truth. You do what you want to do with the truth once it comes out. I'm done.
That's why the word of God says, let the wheat and the tares grow together, and he'll do the separating.
Yep. Exactly. And hello, haven't heard, I didn't know you were here. God bless you.
I've been here a while. God bless you also. I do have a question, Apostle. There, in speaking about drinking, there are several married couples. He may be a bishop, she may be a bishop. They're both clergies or whatever. But they feel what they do together or what they do behind closed doors is acceptable. So I've heard it many times. If I want to have wine with my wife or my husband on a special occasion, ain't nothing wrong with it. If I want to celebrate in my home with my spouse, it's nothing wrong with it. If I want to dance to love music with my spouse, it's nothing wrong with it. So my question is this. Is there something wrong with it? Because I just heard, you know, it being said about drinking. It's still drinking. Even if you're with your spouse, who you or them or both are clergies. We talk about going to, and I'm not saying condone, and I'm just putting this out here. We talk about going out dancing, you know, at the club, at the disco. But when we're with our spouses, I'm speaking clergies, we're dancing to the same music that they're dancing to the club. I would like to hear some input about that.
All right, who wants to jump at it?
I'm going to jump at it.
Well,
let's talk about the drinking first and foremost. What does the scripture say? Woe unto them that drink strong drink. He's pointing out the consequences of drinking strong drink. Now, you may say you're only going to have one, but at some point, one can lead to two, two to three, so on and so forth. Next thing you know, you're drunk. All right? Now, concerning wine, the Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine. I'm going to simply say it, and I'm not downplaying the scripture. I'm simply saying this. If you're an alcoholic, you ain't got no business with wine or anything alcoholic whatsoever, period. You just got delivered from that. Why on earth would you want to go back where you came from? If you're one that has the ability to hold a single glass of wine, and they used to drink wine at dinner time. So I'm not really harping on that to push it out. What I'm simply saying is to the individual that tries to justify what, don't justify what you do. You don't have to. It says, be not drunk with wine. So here it is in a nutshell. Pot, don't get drunk. Whether it's wine or strong drink, to the individual that's smoking. If when you got saved you were smoking and you're trying to get delivered, that's one thing. But if you're just determined to hold on to your smoking, regardless of what the word says, your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, now you're walking in disobedience, because in your heart you have determined that you're going to do what you do. And I know Apostle Whitlow got some more to add to it, so I'm going to stop right there.
But I want to say before Apostle comes, I want to say, really, if you know anything about table mannerism and table setup, see, I've one that been through mannerism classes. I know how to come to a house and set up. I can come set up your party and all this. As Bishop just said, truthfully, wine is part of your dinner setup.
It is.
It is a, when you do a full course meal,
palletizer.
True.
It is a palletizer.
You can call it a full course, but a full course meal calls for a glass of either red Chablis, it calls for white wine, but it's always a wine. And what we must understand is that wine is a mockery. Strong
mm-hmm.
drink is rageous. People get
right.
drunk off a boat, but when you drink strong wine or strong liquor, let me put it like that, there's a difference between wine and liquor. But if you drink too much of either one, they give you
right.
a different kind of high. Me, myself, I don't drink either, never have drunk either. But by me being a person that has studied metabolism and studied people and then had a bunch of family members that were drinkers, I know the difference between when you have too much of either.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Bible was teaching was, if it is a dinner wine, if you are having a glass with your meal or whatever, it's not so much whether if you are married or not married. They don't have to use that excuse that we married and we drink. We married and we dance. We married and we do this together. Well, the truth of the matter is, I have a friend that is an apostle. We've been friends a long time. Him and his wife will tell you in a minute, yes, we dance. We love to dance.
Exercise.
But as much as he dances, when they're together at a danceable place, they dance just as much in church and at home. I don't understand people that can dance at the club but can't give God nothing.
Uh-oh.
You come to church and sit there like a bum on the log, but let somebody put on, hey, that's my song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean tell me all that breath, life, health, and strength God gave you, you can't move nothing on that body for him, but you can move it for the world.
As soon as Parliament
and
then tell it, come on.
I got another friend that said this. He said, women, you watch men in church. He said, if they can't move for God, you need not to marry them, because they ain't going to move much for you.
My Lord. What you got, Whit?
All I'm going to say is that Alfred done tapped me on the shoulder and told me it's 2 minutes after 12. So we have to save it for another time.
No.
Alfred
always coming at the right time.
Get the Billy Club.
We need to let it go. Well, Alfred Hitchcock, we thank you for showing up. I want to say to all you lovely people who came to us tonight for this podcast called The Voice, you have been such a naughty, naughty audience. And may so many good things come out tonight until we have not been able to finish our discussion. So you know what you have to do. Next week you have to come back at 10:30 if you want the conclusion. We'll be here. Will you? I want to say to you now, if you are catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. God has so much more for you ahead. Just keep on going. Amen. Amen. I want you to know you can be in prayer tomorrow at 12 o'clock. That number is 701-801-9814. 701-801-9814. You can be in prayer tomorrow at 12 o'clock as we pray and seek the Lord's face Amen. Sometimes we get a prophetic word from the Lord, and amen, and God just really blesses us sometimes. We go into a high praise. If you want to be a part of that, call us tomorrow. Get in the prayer and let God bless your life. Amen. I say to each one of you, have a good, restful night and dream great things of God. And then we say, shalom, shalom. Kimmy Kim.
Able to stand in the toughest winter.